small letter just after the book of Hebrews, the book of James in chapter number 3. Those who were here last Sunday morning will recall this is where we spent our time. The title of the message last week was, "What is my tongue saying about me?" We talked about arsenic, and assassination in the assembly. We were talking about the power of the tongue. Someone has written these words, "I am more deadly than the screaming shell from the howitzer. I tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck lives. And I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity strong enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea, and often as innocent. I never forget and seldom forgive. My name is gossip." Gossip is, of course, the work of the tongue. And in James chapter 3, we were reminded how powerful and how deadly the tongue is. We'll not read the entire chapter, but I remind you, we were pointed to a couple of illustrations. We were pointed to the power of a bit and a bridle, just a small little piece of metal, but it turns about the horse. It controls a horse. So somebody a lot smaller can have control over someone much larger and more powerful just with a little thing. And then we learned about the rudder of a ship. So you can have a great ship and just a small rudder, and that rudder controls the ship. It will turn it about. And so we're told that the tongue is like that. It's a little member, but it boasts great things, has great power. And then we were pointed to the illustration of fire, and that just a little fire can kindle or burn a huge amount and do a great amount of destruction, just one small flame. And so is the tongue. And then we're told by James that the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity, and that the fire of the tongue is set on fire of hell, according to verse 6. And then he talks about man's ability to tame everything, can tame wild beasts and everything on earth. Man has been able to bring under his dominion, under his authority. He's been able to tame it with one exception, the tongue. The tongue can no man tame, the scripture says, verse 8, "For it's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." In the beginning of the chapter, James said, if any man offend not in word, if any man doesn't have a problem with his tongue and is not causing problems with his tongue, the same is a perfect man and able also to control the whole body. But as we closed last week, we didn't have time to go much into it, so we're going to pursue it again. James said, you know, we use that same instrument, the tongue, to bless God and to curse men. And he said that shouldn't be, because blessing comes from somewhere and cursing comes from somewhere. And the bottom line is, it is coming from what's inside of us. For what we speak is what we think. So our thoughts become words and are related. Our thoughts become known to men by the words that we speak. I'll just tell you what I think about that, or I'll tell you what I think about you, or tell you what I think about what you're doing is you're revealing what's going on. So he said, think about this. You go to get a drink out of a fountain, you would not expect that one time you go to drink the water, it would give you sweet water, fresh water, and the next time you go to drink, it would give you salt water or bitter water. He says, it's not going to happen. It'll give you either one or the other, depending on the source, depending on where the fountain is drawing from. Do you understand that picture? And so he said, it's inconsistent. It's not right that with the tongue you're cursing men and blessing God. Your tongue is full of both. You are showing that there's a real problem inside somewhere. Verse 14 is where we'll start reading. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, in other words, if that's the source of your speech and what you're saying with your tongue, if it's inside you, bitter envying and strife, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we're going to deal with that thought from other passages of Scripture in just a moment. But before we do, I'm certain that there's no one in this room who's never heard, or at least I feel pretty confident that there's no one in this room that's never heard the statement, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." I ask you, is that true? It's only true in one scenario. It can be true, but only in one possible scenario. And that is if you are dead. Now, I'm not saying you have to be physically dead, for that's obvious. No matter what I say to you, if you're just a corpse and your soul has departed your body, it isn't going to bother you. Right? No matter what I say to you, no matter what I say about you, no matter what tone of voice. But do you know the Bible speaks about being dead to sin? Do you know the Bible speaks about being dead to sin and alive unto Christ? And there is a goal in the Christian life of becoming so like Christ that we are dead to self. And therefore, no matter what you say to me or how you say it to me or when you say it to me, it cannot hurt me. Because I'm dead. I've already laid down my life. I now live the life of Christ. Christ lives in me, and the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God. That is a goal, and that's where we ought to be, and it ought to be true of a Christian, especially one of any degree of years, that you can say anything to me or about me, and it doesn't hurt me because I've already died to self. I already know that no matter what you say, it'll never come close to the truth. The truth is, the Bible says, my heart, your heart, every man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And no matter what you say negative about me, you don't know the whole story. So I should be able to say, you know what, you're right. And it's a lot worse than you think. But I'm working on it. So that's the one case where sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me may be true. Otherwise, it's absolutely not true. Words hurt. Words wound. As a matter of fact, we mentioned last week in passing as we got ready to close, and then again on Sunday night, Proverbs 18:21. Somebody texted me about that this week as well. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue has power. It's a powerful instrument. And in the power of the tongue are death and life. In other words, with the same instrument, you can hurt somebody deeply or help them greatly. You can tear them down or you can build them up. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. You can discourage or encourage. All of us have had the experience where we're in a pretty good mood. Maybe walking with a little spring in our step, a little whistle, and we go somewhere and somebody says something to us. And all of a sudden, the sunshine is gone. The spring is gone out of the steps. Our shoulders sag a little bit. Our head bows a little bit. And we are no longer happy. But I have also had the experience, and I trust you have as well, where you've not been feeling so good. And your shoulders are sagging. And your knees are shaking. And you're weak. As the scripture talks about in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And you came into somebody's presence and somebody said just the right thing. And immediately you straightened up and a smile came to your heart and you felt better just like that. That's your power. That's the power of your tongue and mine. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Did you ever stop to think about how everything that was made was made? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, the worlds, we understand this by faith. By faith, we take God's word to be true. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the works of God? No, by the word of God. Genesis chapter 1, over and over again, and God spake, and it was so. God said, let there be light, and it was so. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. God created all things by his word. That's the power of life. You and I are made in the image of God. We have a powerful instrument called the tongue. And the tongue expresses our thoughts or our words and through our words. And so God expressed the thoughts and desires of his heart through his word. You know, the Bible says if you're born again, if you're a Christian, if you're truly saved, you were born again, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, you were born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God spoke the truth, and you believed the truth, and the word of God made you a new creature. A new creation. The same word that spoke and brought the worlds into existence, that same word was spoken and you became a believer. Your heart was changed. You became a new creation. It's amazing to watch the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry as he uses words and expresses power. Every miracle he did by the expression of words. He spoke and it was done. There's power in the tongue. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Now, those who were here Sunday night, we read this, but we didn't really expound it. We just showed that it is in harmony with what we're learning from James in James chapter 3. That what's coming out is indicative of something that's down deep inside. And we looked at Matthew 12 and what Jesus said. And today we're going to expound it a little bit. We're going to do this in a different way. We're going to read it as it's written. And then we're going to go in reverse from the last verse we read and work our way back up. So Matthew chapter 12. If I were to title the message this morning, I would entitle it, What Fuels My Fire? The tongue is a fire. James chapter 3. What fuels my fire? Fire is a good thing. Fire can purify. Fire can illuminate. Fire can give warmth. So fire is positive and helpful. So it has life. It gives life. But it also has the power of death, right? So my tongue. What fuels my fire? Or I could use this title, The Treasury of My Tongue. The Treasury of My Tongue. Look at Matthew chapter 12. And verse 31, wherefore, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. My beloved friend, I may not know you, but I beg you, read that again and believe it. Believe it. These are the words of the Son of God. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. You can be forgiven. I heard a preacher this week talking about soul winning in these terminologies. He said to a man, he said, I don't tell him I'm a preacher anymore. He was talking about being on an airplane. He said, I don't tell him I'm a preacher anymore because they leave the seat oftentimes and they never show up again for the whole of the flight. I'm not sure where they went, but they don't want to sit next to the preacher. So he said, I don't do that anymore. He said, what I do is I tell them I have the wonderful privilege of going all over the world and telling people that every sin they've ever committed and are committing and will commit can be forgiven them by God once and for all, and they can be free from any condemnation. That's my privilege. Are you interested? Who's not interested in being forgiven? We're all sinners. We've all done wrong. And we all ought to fear standing before a righteous and a holy God. Well, Jesus said all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven. But there is an exception. The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. We'll be back. Go on to verse 32. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, that's a title for Jesus, the one who's speaking. Whosoever speaks a word against me, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Once again, we'll come back. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Dear friend, take with you this truth from the lips of Jesus. Not only can you be forgiven, there is more than this world. There is a world to come. You are an eternal soul. You will live somewhere for all of eternity. And you'll have no forgiveness, neither in this world or in the world to come, for the sin of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit or speaking against the Holy Ghost. Verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, remember what James said about the tongue? It's full of deadly poison. Vipers. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Watch, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Last Sunday morning and last Sunday night, our reference point to the power of the tongue had more to do with its effect upon others outside of ourselves. And we'll be back there again tonight to finish what we started last Sunday night. But I want you to know that death and life that are in the power of your tongue, that doesn't just refer to the people outside of you. That refers to you as well. You hold in your tongue the power of your death or the power of life. Say, explain that, Pastor. I'd be happy to. By thy words, verse 37, thou shalt be justified. To justify means that you are excused. You are accounted or accepted as righteous. If you are justifying your behavior, you are giving an acceptable reason for your behavior, and therefore it is justified. That means everything measures up. Justified or justification is a term which refers to salvation. By your words, you shall be justified. Notice in the verse previous, he mentioned, you're going to give an account of every idle word in the day of judgment. There is a day when every human being will stand before the judgment throne of God. And what the scripture says is that as we stand before the judgment and we give an account like in a courtroom, we will either be justified or saved, or we will enjoy life as a result of our words, or we will be condemned. We will enter into what's called the second death by our words. We will either be justified or we will be condemned. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Go with me now to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. So very important Romans chapter 10. And I wish I could expound the entire passage to give you the sense of the context, but I can't. But in verse number 8, what saith it? The word, there you go, where do words come from? The tongue. Words are thoughts made known or made vocal by the tongue. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Notice the connection of mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Watch, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. To confess with your mouth means you use words. Are you with me? So if you speak the right words, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What did we learn in Matthew chapter 12? By your words, you shall be justified. You can, with your mouth, make confession unto salvation. Look at verse 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It all begins down here. The word is first in the heart. We believe the word, and then because we believe it, because it has taken root in us, then with the mouth we make confession unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you believe in your heart, you're not going to be ashamed to say it with your mouth. And when you confess it with your mouth, you enjoy salvation. Look at verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that what? Call upon him. How do you do that? With your mouth, with your tongue, with your words. And then look at the promise of verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The power of or life is in the power of your tongue. You can have life everlasting by the words that you speak, by recognizing your guilt before a holy God, recognizing in your heart that Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for your sin, and confessing with your mouth that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and calling upon God to save you. Then verse 14. That's so important because salvation is by your words. You're justified by your words. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? So it begins with believing and then you call. But the problem is some people don't believe. And how would you expect them to call upon somebody they don't believe? How shall they believe if they've never heard? By the way, how do you hear? You hear by words. Somebody speaks to you. The word of God is given to you. So God speaks, and then you choose, having heard, to believe. And having believed, you call. But God is calling you with his word. So how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What does a preacher do? He gets up and yells a lot. He talks a lot. He speaks a lot. He declares. He makes known. He uses words. So yes, I can, with my tongue, I have the power of giving life to you or of seeing you become alive in Christ. But you also have the power. It has to be your tongue that confesses Christ and that calls upon him to be saved. Do you see it? Life is in the power of the tongue. But I could go on here. We've got a lot more to say here, but I, for time's sake, I don't have the time. I just want you to know verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing. Faith is believing. It comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. God speaks, and his words are life-giving. And I hear them, and I believe them, and I confess them. But go back with me now to Matthew 12. And look at verse 31 and 32. We said we'd come back. Interesting that the scripture says, or Jesus says, if you speak a word against me, it'll be forgiven you. But whoso speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. To not have forgiveness for your sin means you are dead in your sins and trespasses, and you will know or enjoy or be met with the second death, which is being cast into the lake of fire, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. It's in here. You want to die? Do you want to put yourself to death? I hear. speak against the Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor, I'm confused. I don't understand. How come you can speak against Jesus and not against the Holy Spirit? Let's go back for a moment. When God first spoke to man, he spoke to them by the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. There is no line, no place where their language, where their voice is not heard. The heavens declare the glory of God. But if a man rejected that, then God said, okay, I'm going to give you my law. So he gave the law. He spoke the law. And the law was God's word saying, this is what you can do to live, and this is what you do to die. God's word, the law. If a man rejects the law, God says, okay, I'll send you a judge. And he sent judges to rule over Israel. And when man rejected the judges, God said, okay, I'm going to send you a prophet. So God sent prophets to Israel and witnessed to them. When they spoke against the prophets and put the prophets to death, then God sent his son, the Lord Jesus. And the word became flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And Jesus lived among men, and Jesus spoke the truth. But men rejected the Lord Jesus. There's still one more option. God sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. When Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. But my friend, if you speak against the Holy Spirit, then you have no other opportunity. There will be no one else coming. The last witness, the last word of Almighty God to you as he speaks to you the truth is his Holy Spirit. And when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, when you speak against the Holy Spirit, when you say, no, I will not believe you, I will not hear it, that's not the truth, that's a lie, I'll believe what I want to believe, and you choose to go the way of your own heart, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and there is no one else. There's no one else coming that can convince you or believe you. The last hope, the last opportunity is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in your tongue, in the power of your tongue lies life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and death. Whoso blasphemeth or speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, not in this world, nor in the world to come. Serious stuff. Life, death, in the power of your tongue personally. Now look again at the text and go to verse 35. Our Lord teaches what James ended up teaching. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. I must remind you that on another occasion, the scripture tells us that a man came up to Jesus and called him good master. And asked the question, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus asked him a question, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. And that's a truth repeated over and over again in Scripture. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's not a good man. But yet we read about a good man here. He's a man who's been made good by the grace of God. He's a man who's had his heart changed by God so that he now has a good treasure, a good heart. There's no one good but God. But a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. Because his heart is filled with good treasure. His heart is the treasure chest. Well, you know what this word means? The word means treasure. It means the place where what is good in your eyes and what is precious to you is collected by you and laid up by you. Your heart has within it the things that you want to be there, the things that you delight in, the things that you enjoy. That's your treasury. And out of that treasury, you bring out words. Your words express the treasure of your heart. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Look at verse number 50. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I've got ahead of myself. I want you to hold that verse for a moment. This passage in Matthew 12 that we just were considering is also in Luke chapter 6. And in Luke 6 and verse 45, here's the way the Lord puts it. That it is a man speaks out of the abundance of his heart. Here he calls it the treasure of his heart, the good treasure. The abundance of his heart. Whatever fills his heart determines what will fill his speech. His words will come from there. So now, recognizing that truth, that words are powerful, have the power of death and life, not just to others, but to myself as well, and that my words are determined by what's in my heart, what am I going to do? Look at verse 33. Jesus said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. Make the tree good. Make the tree corrupt. What he's saying is that a good tree is going to bring forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree is going to bring forth corrupt fruit. But he is suggesting to those he's speaking to, you can make it good or make it corrupt, and you will be known by the fruit. The words that you speak will tell whether your heart or whether your tree is corrupt or whether it is good. The key is make. So back again to verse 50 that I just drew your attention to. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father. How do I make the tree good? By doing the will of God. To do the will of God, I have to know the will of God. And to know the will of God, to do it, I not only have to know the word of God, I have to agree with the word of God. And then I will do it. Let me tell you what Jesus said. You're familiar with the story. As a matter of fact, we sing it in Sunday school all the time with children. A wise man built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Who was the wise man? Jesus said it was the man that hears my words and doeth them. He's like a man who builds a house and he builds it. He digs deep the foundation and lays it on a rock. Who? The one who hears and does. How do you make the tree good? By obeying the word of God. So when the word of God speaks to you and tells you you're a sinner and that Christ is the Savior who died for you, and you believe it and you confess it with your mouth, you have made the tree good. And then for the rest of your life, out of your heart, you obey the will of God. You do the will of God. You learn what God wants and you do the will of God. And therefore, the man that is concerned with doing the will of God will know what the will of God is regarding his brother, regarding his speech, regarding his conversation, regarding his life. I'm saying to you, the treasury of the tongue is altogether important. In Psalm 141 and verse 3, we mentioned this last Sunday morning, the psalmist said, God, set a watch, set a watch, set a guard before my mouth. And keep the door of my lips. Go to Psalm 19 and verse 14. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Psalm 19. This is the psalm I quoted a moment ago about the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Listen to what the psalmist says in verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 19. Yes, God, keep back thy servant. Also from presumptuous sins, from sins that happen because I'm making a presumption, because I'm presuming something, because I'm not paying close attention. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and be innocent from the great transgression. Now he gets specific. Let the words of my mouth. Let the words of my mouth. And the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Why both? Because the meditations of your heart give birth to your words. What you're thinking about, you will ultimately express. What you think about a subject, what you think about a person, what you think about an activity, what you think about whatever subject you want to mention is going to come out in what you say. Your words will tell what you think about it. Unless you're lying, unless you're being deceitful or hypocritical, you're lying. And if you're lying, you're revealing what's in your heart. You understand? So the psalmist said, Lord, I need your help. You need to set a watch against my lips and my mouth and keep the door of my tongue, keep the door of my lips. Don't let anything escape. Lord, please let my words and the meditation of my heart be acceptable where? In thy sight. In God's sight. Well, how do we know what God sees, what's acceptable in God's sight? Just jot this down. Don't turn there, but Micah 6 and verse 8. Micah 6 and verse 8, He, God, hath showed thee, O man, what is good. He has showed thee what is good. This book from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, beginning to end, is a revelation of God. God showing us what is good. So how do I know what God accepts, what's acceptable in His sight? You got to read it. Or listen to others teach it or preach about it. And you ought to do both. You ought to give attendance to reading and to exhortation and to study of the Word of God, because it's only then you know what's acceptable in God's sight. And the psalmist said, let me make sure that my words and the meditation of my heart, and my words will follow my heart. So it's really a matter of the meditation of my heart. Let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The psalmist had this attitude because he said in Psalm 119, verse 97, Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I think about God's law, God's word, God's will all the day. Psalm 119, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. I don't have time to go a lot further this morning, but I do want to go to Psalm chapter 1, and you're familiar with Psalm 1. I assume many of you are, some of you may not be, but this is a key truth. Here's the very first psalm in the book, Psalm 1. Blessed, the word blessed always means happy, enjoying the blessings of God, which result in happiness and freedom in the soul, in the spirit. Blessed is the man that, number one, walketh not in the counsel. How do we give counsel? Words. We can either speak them, we can write them in a letter, we can type them on a screen, we can write them in a book. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, the words of the ungodly. That means somebody who's not like God. Somebody who is not, who does not have God. They're without God. They're unlike God. They're not like Him. And number two, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That doesn't mean a sinner is going down the path and blessed is the man who doesn't stand in his way. No, blessed is the man who does stand in his way. Who's trying to get him not to go any further down the path of sin and trying to get him to turn around and go the other direction, right? That man's blessed. When it says, blessed is the man that standeth not in the way of sinners, means you don't hang out in the area, the avenues, the common places where sinners travel. You don't walk in the counsel or after the counsel, the words of the ungodly, nor do you hang out in the presence of those who are sinners. You don't stand in their way. And number three, and nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scorner. The word scorn means to talk with arrogance, to mock, to make fun of, to boast. Now let me tell you, the man who is against God, without God, and unlike God, that's the ungodly man, is going to sin. He's a sinner because he doesn't accept God. And transgression or sin is transgression against God. So follow the progression. The ungodly man is a sinner, and the sinner is a scorner. He scorns God. He scorns the truth. He scorns righteousness. Why? Because he's ungodly. and his way is a sinful way. So if you want blessing, if you want life, stop hanging out in the company of the sinner who's a scorner and who has no interest in God and who's giving counsel that has nothing to do with God. But then he doesn't stop there. Verse 2. But instead, this man who's blessed, he not only doesn't do that, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's simply the words of God. What God has written, what God says, what God thinks, that's his delight. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Blessed is the man who meditates in the word of God. So I hope you're getting it this morning. Your tongue is a very powerful instrument. In the power of your tongue is death and life for others and for you. And your tongue is going to manifest either death or life depending on what is in there, what you're treasuring up, what you're laying up in store. And if you're hanging out in, if you're getting all your counsel and advice from ungodly people, hanging out in the presence of sinners and in the presence of scorners, what's inside of you is going to reflect that, and you are going to have an evil heart, and out of your evil heart, you're going to speak words that bring death and destruction and condemnation. And when you stand before judgment, you will be condemned by your words. But you can choose instead to delight in God and delight in what God thinks. And God will tell you what he thinks by what he says. And so read the words of God, get acquainted with the will of God, and then do the will of God. And as you do that, you are making the heart good. You are changing the treasure of the heart. The heart is wicked to begin with, but you change the heart by the word of God. We're transformed and cleansed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So the word of God, expressing the will of God, I delight in it, I meditate in it, I think about it, I dwell upon it, and I have a good treasure in my heart, and out of the good treasure of my heart brings blessing, justification, joy, happiness, life. So crucial, so important. We'll have to come back again. We'll be back again tonight and perhaps again next Sunday morning to talk more about this subject. I hope that the Spirit of God has spoken to you this morning. I hope the Word of God has found a resting place in your heart. It wasn't me that said it. It was God that said it. All manner of sin and blasphemy, other than blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, shall be forgiven man. You can be forgiven today. You can be prepared for the world to come, the life to come. You can have confidence when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ that you'll be justified, not condemned, if you'll make the tree good. And that's by believing the Word of God, delighting in the Word of God, applying the Word of God, doing the Word of God, which is the will of God. That'll make all the difference in the world, in your life. Could I have you bow your head and close your eyes?